Now, again, let me review, for, in case you've forgotten, why we are doing this. Second Corinthians 10:5 says that we war not against flesh and blood, but we have another kind of warfare going on. In other words, we don't war after what we can see by the senses. That our function is to cast down imaginations and every high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of the Lord, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience once our obedience is fulfilled. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. You're not going to go out and revenge anybody else. The moment you see what the meaning of this is, the high places, then you will automatically revenge and tear down any time something else that's on this pillar or the grove or the high place rears its ugly head. You won't permit it because you know, you see it. Now the type of this in the Old Testament has but one function, and it is to prepare you for the real Passover. And that Passover is when you totally and completely exit from time, when you're no longer subject to the vagaries of time. Your life is centered in truth. It's centered in the city that is the New Jerusalem, and that's where you see, and that's where you see and perceive that everything in your being is pushing you into that fullness. Satan meant it for evil. God turned it to good. God is causing all things to work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. There is no thing in your past, I don't care if it's mood swings or fear or bad moods or whatever it is, there is no thing that isn't going to be used for the fullness of the revelation. Okay? Now, to see this in the Old Testament after the flesh, because in the Old Testament, before Christ, the war was against flesh. It was against the senses, the sensory perceptions. Now it's here. It's high places. That's the meaning of the cross. Now let's see what the perfect type of this is. And you don't worry about going there. I'm not going to have you go anywhere tonight. Israel had been without the law for a long time. They didn't even know it existed. They'd been just living their lives. Sort of like us. And then somebody found a copy of the law. And Josiah read it, and the high priest read it to Josiah, and Josiah's comment was, "Oh shit." Well, sort of that comment. That was targumed. Okay, now, I'm going to read 2 Kings chapter 22. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah of Jerusalem, and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, Jerusalem, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. In other words, they agreed to it. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah. This is all that's going on in you. what's been happening to you. That's all you've been done. Every thought you've had is you've been burning incense to the wrong fucking God. Every ambition, every plan, every idea that you've ever had in the spirit, this is the temple of God, you've been burning incense to the wrong God. And in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burdened it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof unto the graves of the children of the people. The brook Kidron is Gehenna, hell. And he brake down the house of the Sodomites, the temple prostitutes. Wait till we study that. There's a bunch of, you know, at least these prostitutes got paid for what they did. You pay others to get it. You're not just whores, you're dumb whores. And he brake down the house of the temple prostitutes that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geha to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son ever again, or his daughter, to pass through the fire to Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the son, at the entering in of the house of the Lord, by the chamber of Nathanmelech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made to the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down, and break them down from thence, and cast the dust from them into the brook Kidron, Gehenna. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were at the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemos, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. All those are just the false gods that you've accepted. And he brake in pieces the pillars, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high places which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both the altar and the high place, he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it to small powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar. Now the sepulchres, the bones of the sepulchres, are the bones of your ancestors. And you've been ancestral worshipers because you've adopted the same gods that they had. And they need to be burned just like everything else, so that you can say with Isaiah that other lords have had dominion over me. But now, O Lord, I will make mention of only thy name. These other lords are dead. They're deceased. They have been ghosts, but now they will not even enter into my memory again. He took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, it is the sepulchre of the man of God. So then he didn't do anything to those bones. And all of the houses also of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel and Jerusalem. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them. And then he returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. And surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Now we're going to have a better Passover than this. Now, pillars. I was wiped out last night. I went to bed about 10:30 and I woke up at 12:30 and I was furious because I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I started thinking about pillars and I started thinking about Tom. Because Tom had told me that and told the body that he really didn't understand pillars. And so I didn't, anyway, so I turned the TV on and because I couldn't go back to sleep. And I was sort of thinking about Tom and pillars and the TV. And on the TV came some ad, I don't even know what it's for, but it had a pile of floppy disks that was about 20 feet tall from a computer. And all of a sudden, it hit me. Now I know how to explain pillars to Tom.
In terms of floppy disks.
Floppy disks. Right, okay. Now, so everybody's pillar is about a 20 or 50 or an infinite high stack of floppy disks, computer programs. Okay?
Now you've got to explain that to the rest of us who don't know.
Just a minute. Let me just hold it. We're not going to have any interruptions for a while.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden then, another thing hit me. That the scriptures declare that all things in the universe exist for our purpose. And I said, my God, computers were invented so that we could see the meaning of the pillars and the high places. For no other reason. So originally at birth, you're an empty computer. All that the floppy disk is, it's the disk is where the program that you want to run for that purpose, you put the floppy disk into the computer, and that runs that computer program for that task. If you have a word processor and you want the margins to be so much, and you want the letter to be fit on such and such a size of page, and you want it to be indented at such and such a way, and you want it to have so many lines per page, well, that is a program. That's a floppy disk that you stick into that one of this tall stack of them that you put into the computer, and into the word processor, which in itself is a computer, and then you push the right button and it runs that so that you can do that particular function. Now the floppy disk has many other, I mean, there could be many programs in one floppy disk.
So like if we want to get dressed, we plug in
right.
our what's the right thing to wear floppy disk.
Right, and when you want to do anything, you plug in that, you go to that particular program for that function. Now at birth, you are a what? You are a, in a sense, with a few exceptions, you are an empty or a brand new computer. Except for two things. Your unconscious or your brain is programmed to do the motor functions. The blood flow and the heartbeats and all those kinds of things. And there's only one program inherent to what we would call the conscious mind. And that is the program which occurred because of the fall, and therefore it's the program that says you will always be self-seeking. So we got a basic computer that it's programmed to keep for survival of the computer, but it has one other thing, that all conscious thought has to be self-seeking. That's the meaning of the fall. All right? Now, the keyboard for this new computer, at birth, you don't know what the fuck to do with it. You know, what's that? The keyboard is simply handed over to your parents. The parents put in all of their programs that they have thought were valuable. How to raise you, you should eat your, you know, in order, if you want your apple pie, you got to eat your vegetables, which is, that's the greatest example of the fire of Molech, because it's a stupid thing in the first place from the health standpoint. But, I mean, you grow up with those kinds of things. So your parents are in there, and they program 10,000 different programs of how you should be and operate. And so now those are in. Then as you get a little bit older and you start being aware of surroundings, then pretty soon you hand over your keyboard to all kinds of other people. Pretty soon, there's all kinds of people programming your computer. Now, since the advent of mass media, we got an infinite number. So you're slowly developing a computer, a memory file of these floppy disks. Everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now comes along your own consciousness, your self-consciousness. And so now you start to play with the keyboard. Now you not only got your parents and all your surroundings, radio, television, all your aunts and uncles, all your friends, you got you. And that's all you do is you sit there and program. Write a new program, write a new program, write a new program. The disk file is getting huge. Okay? Now, pretty soon the whole world is your programmer. And the real programmer behind it all is the Antichrist, the God of this world. He will let all these other things program you, but only within that constraint that he allows. Capisce? All right. Now, psychologists, this is, remember I've had trouble defining to you that pillars were successful? Mm-hmm. Well, they're successful in the context of that floppy disk, of that program. In other words, if that program tells you to fail, and you fail, then you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
As a unit.
You're
successful by that program standard.
Because that's the way it happened the first time.
Well, that's the way it's just reinforced and reinforced. So you are, when I say you're programmed for success, but you fail by another standard. You're succeeding by that program standard.
So there's a hierarchy of programs.
Right. Now, let's stay on that one a minute. I remember from too many years ago that a couple of things about psychology. It's estimated that somewhere between 100,000 and 200,000 times you are told, no, you can't do it, before you reach the age of puberty. No, you can't do it. No, you can't do it. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
Are you saying can't or don't?
You can't. Doesn't matter. Your brain, do you understand the difference between brain and mind?
No.
Your brain is the unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's in essence, the subconscious, the capacity, the intelligence, but it's the unit. It's the thing of that is constrained by how can I say?
It runs the programs.
Yeah, it runs all the programs.
Your mind is the activity in it.
Your mind is the activity in it. Okay? Your brain doesn't know. Your brain believes everything. Your brain has absolutely no moral judgments. Your brain will believe every lie that ever existed. Especially when it's all your conscious mind is the filter. And so when you get older, then you filter out some of this stuff. Most of the time you filter it wrong, but from the standpoint of that child, he doesn't care about right, wrong, moral, amoral. He believes everything.
Oh, I see what you're talking about there. As a child, you don't have a program for filtering yet.
Right.
But you've got a program for that too, which is why we filter things wrong.
Right. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're told, no, you can't, now some of you were told, no, you can't, not just 100,000 or 200,000 times before you reach the age of puberty, you were told 500,000 times. Now if you're fortunate enough to have nurturing parents.
It's kind of like the M word.
Yeah, right. Marriage. But if you're fortunate enough to have nurturing parents, then that no business goes way down. If you were in an environment in which it was an environment of domineering, an environment of religious crap especially, you may have been told, no, you can't, 2 million times before you reach puberty. Okay? And all this is going in here. Without discernment.
Without the filter.
Well, with a filter that's it's an exponential thing. The filter is working and no you can't are working and slowly, you know, they slowly. But there's a whole bunch of them that got in there before that are still affecting you, and they are more real than anything you can perceive now. Okay? Now, there's a lot of people that have studied psychology a lot more than I have, so please correct me. I'm doing this from long-time memory. The average person, 77% of what they think, the thoughts, are negative.
No, they're not.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Not negative in terms of no, but negative in terms of of
the worst is going to happen.
The worst is going to happen. Our evaluations about the worst, or
this time, it's going to
right.
happen again.
77%. What?
He wants to know your point.
Well, I'm getting to the point. Now again, the reason those things are they're so much negative is because 200,000 times you were told, no, you can't.
So they work hand in hand.
For some of us, and what the world defines as success, and to be successful in the world in any of these arenas, are the ones who had less no, I can'ts. But God has done this incredible trick. God says, if your whole program says, no, you can't, you're lucky. You're blessed. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you lost me.
Well, because then you can come to faith. Nothing in these floppy disks can have anything to do with faith. It all has to do with a computer that's operating based on pre-programming.
Okay.
If a Ross Perot or a great athlete who's visualizing and sees and sees only in positive phenomena, then he can be successful in this world environment because his program doesn't have all of the... He may only think negative thoughts 10%, where the average person thinks negative thoughts 77%. Some of you think negative thoughts 99%, I think.
So the whole point of this thing is that we are programmed for failure, and the failure leads us to faith, at which point the programming has to be thrown out.
Need the failure anymore.
Okay, well let me get to the point. I don't care. I don't want you to talk right now. 77% of your thoughts are negative. Interesting corollary. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. 75% of all, medical science says that 75% of all illness is self-induced.
I was going to say something. Oh,
don't say anything.
Okay.
75% of all illness is self-induced. 77% on the, I mean, there's two averages, and I think that reason, they're interesting. Okay, again, there's been somewhere between 50 and 100 billion neurons that make up this thing we call a brain. Each one of those arenas of billions of neurons controls an area of your being. One controls health. It's like a scoreboard that's made up of a jillion little lights. And there's a part of it that controls health, a part of it controls your thoughts about money, a part of it controls your thoughts about sex, a part of it controls your thoughts about people and family. I mean, on and on and on. This huge board. And there's each one of those little boards, I mean, each one of those lights on that board are one of these billions of neurons, between 50 and 100 billion neurons. Now, how do you switch them on? How do you get the light to work? Well, you get the light to work by a thought. You understand? So that if you're thinking about health stuff, for some reason, there's a stimulus that says, I should think about health because I coughed or my friend is sick or something happens when I should think about health, then I have to get from the thought to that board. And that board, if all the neurons were doing their functions, then it would be health, health. It would be what we've said so often. Whatever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. But you've got a problem. You start the switch, you turn the switch on, which is your thought about health, and has to pass through that 20-foot high stack of floppy disks to get to the board. You've turned, I deserve to be sick. I deserve to be, because a lot of you, yeah, I deserve to be poor. I deserve to be anything, you know.
I catch everything that goes around.
Yeah, I catch all the diseases that come around.
Yeah, I think it's more basic than that. I am sick.
Well, whatever. But no, I am isn't a part of it. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll see why in a minute.
I am with a modifier.
It's not I am. No, it's I. That's an important concept you'll see in a minute. Okay, the brain... Each area of your life is controlled by these thoughts. And the area of your life are all these lights and stuff that are the function of what you're being. I mean, I can go down the line and pick on you because I know you and tell you, you know, which program you have. Okay. As I said, the brain has no morals. Your brain is amoral, totally, your brain's a whore. Because all your brain does is take electrical impulses and does stuff with them based on the program. Doesn't know, also your brain doesn't know time. Your brain has no consciousness of time. Your mind does, your brain doesn't. So the same program that you thought helped you back then is the same program that's going on now. That's now it's destructive to you, but it's the one that it's the bigger program. Now, that's why the pillars must be torn down. We must erase the program. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to anybody. You must erase the program.
Yeah.
Now, you can't replace the program. You've been trying to replace the program all your life. Now we can be, because the basic question is, who do you want to be on that keyboard? Do you want you to be on the keyboard? None of you are that big of fools. Do you want your parents to be on the keyboard? No, you hate them spiritually. Do you want, name me, that's why you can't be a respecter of persons. You want me to be on the keyboard?
No way.
Who do you want to be on that keyboard?
I'm not sure I want my image of Christ to be on there either.
That's the real problem then. That's why there's no faith, because you think something else is of more value. The only one that can be on the program is Yahweh, God. He's the only one that can operate the keyboard, because he's the only one that sees outside of time. He's the only one that sees the whole bit. And that's why his being on the keyboard is only happens or only takes place when you are in abandonment of self. Anytime you try to program it by your own sensory perception and your own needs and your own ideas and your own opinions, you've taken God off the program, off the keyboard, and put you back. And you know you're not, you're not smart enough to program it. Now, the name of the perfect program to meet every need, to handle every situation, to meet everything there is, the name of that perfect program is Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. And that program comes, there's all kinds of people around the world are trying to program it. That's what every religion is. That's what every thought pattern is. That's every time you go to a new church or read a new book or go to a new guru or you know, do you want Muhammad to program it? Muhammad died. Do you want Buddha to program it? Buddha died. The only one that's worthy of being the program is someone that was resurrected from the dead. If you take time out of the equation, therefore any idea, any opinion that you have, any system of thought that you have, has to fail. That's why now, when you are now, say, when you truly are what the scriptures call born again, you are a new computer. Now, what most people try to do is they try to clean up their house. I want you to imagine this, visualize this. I'm going to come and visit you. All right? And I look around your house and I say, my God, that's ugly furniture. It's all broken. It's just ridiculous looking furniture. It doesn't match. You have no taste. It's just dumb furniture. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take, and we're planning to get you some new furniture. And we're going to take all of this stuff, all of this broken down stuff that you've been using, and we're going to take it and we're going to put it in your garage temporarily. Until the new stuff gets here. And so we work our butts off when we take all the furniture out of the house and we bring it to the garage. And we clean the house and make it all nice and spiffy, and because the furniture is going to be delivered in about a week. Well, about 15 minutes after I leave, you feel like sitting down. So you go out to the
garage,
and you get a chair. And it doesn't matter if it's a broken down, ugly chair. You get the chair because you want a place to sit down. Okay, well then, it's time to eat now. We got to go get the stove. No, wait a minute. We got to get the refrigerator too, because I don't have anything to. You know, we got to keep the stuff. Now we need a place to. Now we need a place to eat it. I know we get the table and shit. Now we need some pretty in almost no time at all because of the stimulus that hits you. You have to have a totally. What you've done is you've totally brought in back all of the stuff that you've just kicked out. Now that's what positive the idea of the power of positive thinking and all that. That's all they do. Sometimes they might put a couple nails on the broken chair or something, but fundamentally, all that the power of positive thinking, the power of thinking God thoughts, you know, whatever you want to giving, all you're doing is you're trying to fix up the old furniture. Can't work. It's available and instantaneous. When you pick up the cross, is that house is filled with the perfect furniture. Instantaneously. Perfect to meet every need from now and forevermore. And the old furniture, and another part of the analogy if we use, has got to be burned. And that's what we're going to do this weekend, is burn the furniture. We're going to tear down those floppy disks and burn the furniture. Understand?
Mm-hmm. Like the furniture had a disease.
Okay, now, what you all are concerned with, ultimately, both inwardly and outwardly, is behavior. Whether you're concerned with your own behavior or someone else's behavior. You understand? And however, you can be successfully behavior or rich behavior or sexy behavior, but it's all behavior patterns. That's the end result that you're concerned with. But where does that come from? Let's start out. The first thing in that brand new computer when you were born was programming. So the programming then, the programming controls your beliefs. You can sit here and say, I believe in God till hell freezes over. You can sit here and say, I believe that Jesus is an, you know, whatever. You can sit here and say, you believe the doctrine till hell freezes over. But the programming that is part of you is going to control all of those beliefs. You will believe the wrong stuff because you've believed the lie. The programming controls the beliefs. The beliefs control your attitudes about life. Your attitudes control your feelings, and your feelings control your behavior. So, but in order to change anything, you have to change the program. The promise of God is the program will provide the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy, etc., faith. That's the promise. That's the promise of God. Now, you've tried these other programmings all your life. They didn't work. Okay, now it's time to throw them out and burn them. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You own all things. By his stripes you are healed. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. All of the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Now. Do you want that? Do you still like your program? The programming is all wrong. Every program in the system is wrong because the first program was wrong. It was self-seeking. Now I can prove to you it's wrong, and what the way we'll prove it's wrong and therefore destroy its power over you is by expanding the parameters.
Even if you take that self-seeking one out, all the other ones have been programmed with that in mind and by other self-seeking people. So it's like, okay, I don't want to be self-seeking anymore, and you don't use your basic self-seeking.
But you end up being self-seeking until the whole is destroyed.
Is molded that way, and you can't help it if you do.
That's why God had to demand that the pillars be destroyed, the groves be destroyed, all the high places destroyed, and the priests of the high places had to be killed. That's the battle that we're about to undertake. Now in abandonment of self, you then turn the programming over to the Father. So the only stimulus that you have is whether or not who's God. If you want to continue to be as God, run your own program. But get the fuck out of here. I don't want you around. You're a waste of my time. You're not going to believe anything I say anyway. Just say goodbye. And I'll be merciless. But if I can show you that God is the only programmer that's of worth, then hang around. We got some exciting times ahead. Jesus is the perfect program. Now, all of you can help me in this one, because and you can start talking now.
Floor's over here.
Yeah. Pissed off now.
Good.
Now, it's like I was thinking about that too, because the analogy to me is near perfect, but then I have a better understanding of computers. But you know, I'm trying to figure out what goes on in your mind. If everything is programmed, how do you get out of the loop? And I finally decided it's like, you know, a computer error.
You destroy the floppy disk.
Everybody has seen a computer generate an error, send you a bill for $100,000 or something like that. The computer in my head is on an error loop right now. It's trying to relocate the program.
Right.
And that's the only time that you can ever get past it is when you can jump to an error condition.
And that's what repentance is called.
Jumping to
it. No, that's right. What you search, you have to. It searches the whole. The computer goes crazy, and it searches every possible nook and cranny. It's like God is searching Jerusalem with a candle for the leaven. Remember? But the computer goes crazy when it does that, and it's got to find a way out of it. It's got to find a way out. And it can't. And when it sees it can't, repentance is automatic.
When you see
that all of these programs and possible options that you've used all your life to give you identity and sustenance and meaning, and you search through, and your mind goes, wow, and pretty soon they just, effectively, you've shorted out and then burned all of those wrong programs.
Wow. You ignore it, but reboot the program again.
We have a chance in this, like Abraham did, to test.
Amen.
Every program say, nope, this doesn't pass, this doesn't pass, this doesn't pass, this doesn't pass.
It seems like you've done that. I think I've done that, though, in some things.
You've done it in some things.
Well, I mean, I really have in some things, but then with my mind, with my conscious mind, I have tried to think out, you know, well, think to the end.
You've wrote a new program.
And then when it gets tested again, then I'm right back in the emotional state that I was in before. So there's something got a deeper happen than.
Okay, now let's.
Is the root of the tree then the basic prejudice of the machine itself and the basic program that you will always be self-seeking? Is that the?
Yeah, the root.
The core of it.
The core that's destroyed in this error loop that Tom was talking about is the first program. Mm-hmm.
Which is to be self-seeking.
Right.
When you see that ends.
Yeah, then you've seen through it. When you see through it, you've erased the program.
I went a little further on that, what I wrote down. When you run into an error condition in your mind, you can do one of three things. You can do what everybody else does. You can ignore it and reboot the system. You know, just go on, drive on. Or you can do the other thing that everybody else does. You can write a new program, which the world sees as repentance. You know, I'm going to write a new program that satisfies this new data. Or you have a chance, you have just a chance, just for a split second before the program reboots, to say, this proves that the system is screwed up.
Right.
I have a chance now to get out of the system.
Amen. And that's why it's so rare and that's why we need each other, because, I mean, it's a constant thing.
And it is only a nanosecond, isn't it? Because the whole thing is self-correcting to fulfill the basic program, which is to be self-correcting.
Okay, now, I want us to think about, and you guys can help me, I just wrote down a few, but how you talk to yourself to enhance these programs, because remember, your program, your unit, sees failure as success. You have to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
It says, like, when I come up against this situation, I fail.
Right.
That's the problem.
And therefore, it's successful.
Right.
Okay.
I'm doing what the program
says. There's a process, and what I try to do here is equate this back to the child, the adolescent, the young man, and the father. And I don't... And forgive me, I'm sorry, my analogies aren't perfect, but this is extremely difficult. The way you talk, and the way you especially in this arena of desire of change, you have a desire. Again, we go from this single most point, a desire. Remember, all desire is pure. Doesn't matter what it looks like. God will give you the desire of your heart. God has given you the desire of your heart. Okay? So the desire is there. Your first one response I desire this, but I can't. Now, and again, this is going to sound like I'm picking on Pam, but I'm not. But it's the easiest one to I can pick on Harry. I'll pick on Harry and Pam.
I won't be alone. Should we get in the same corner?
Let's assume Harry desires to stop smoking. But Harry says, and so the desire is there, stop smoking. Okay? Harry says, I can't. That's one response, and that's a programmed response to the stimuli of the desire. From in 1,000 areas, I can't. I want to be wealthy. I can't. Now, you hear me? You understand what I'm saying? I want to lose weight. I can't. That's a programmed response. The desire is there. God says, whatsoever you say shall be done for you. Your program overrides.
No, it's done for you. You said you couldn't.
Your program overrides the desire.
Okay. Okay.
Now, here's where we must come into the understanding of the fullness of all of the offerings. We have to apprehend them to apprehend some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about. Because if he has completed it all, then I can never again be part of your vocabulary. If the desire is there, you accept the desire is from the Father, then if you say I can't, what have you done? You've made the cross of Christ of none effect. Big time stuff, folks. Sin is getting very narrow.
Yeah. I like that. Before I thought about this, like, well, you know, what if I want to say I want to be a butterfly or something? But that's, people don't have those desires. It's like God made us a certain way to have certain desires, and Christ in coming in the flesh was able to make a way to fulfill all those desires. So you know that they're right, that they're, you know, and that they're possible and have been.
A desire, yeah, don't. Trust me, the desire is pure. Trust me, the desire is pure. No, it's not. We're not there yet. So we got rid of I can't. Now we come to the next stage. I need to. No, I need to. Hear me. I need to quit smoking. But whenever there is a I need to, there's a but. I need to quit smoking, but I need to lose weight, but. Or I'm going to quit smoking, but. Or a New Year's resolutions. This is why God says in the New Testament, vowing is sinning. Because a vow defines a time by definition. Instead of declaring it, it's a time. And therefore, by definition, that time span will cause it to go through the false programs. Now, there's another level, and that's where, this is where almost all of the positive confession and all of it's been this way for I mean, there's always been this
mental imaging.
The mental imaging. Now, the mental imaging says it it's valid in this process. It denies the sensory perception. Positive confession is what I was going to say earlier. In the if you've gone through I want to quit smoking, but I need to quit smoking, you know, all that. I desire to quit smoking, but I can't. I need to, but now if I take a cigarette and light it, positive confession says I no longer smoke.
Right.
Now, don't laugh at it. It is more power than you can ever imagine.
Yeah.
But it is still child's play. I am attractive. I am skinny. I no longer smoke. I am rich. I am beautiful. I am whatever it is you desire.
Yeah.
The point is, what it does is it reprograms. But it's totally and completely powerful. And you're a fool if you laugh at it. And if this, and again, a lot of you will stop here. You know, this is a nice place to stop. That's where most religions stop. It's positive confession. Now, do you understand that all these are ways of dealing with existing programming?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Just reprogram. The root,
we don't want to reprogram.
The root is it's still only there. Outside of time things that, like...
Well, wait a minute. Let me,
you know,
let me finish. But I want you to tie the decision, the change point, as the young man in the spirit. It's the child, the adolescent, the young man. The young man says... He smokes, but he says he understands the process and says, but I'm not, I no longer smoke. He's busted, but he says, I have all the money I need. He's sick in bed, but he says, I'm healthy. You see, do you understand? I hope you understand me. I mean, this is big
so
stuff.
Christian science, does it?
Well, it's Christian science. It's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Christian, or it's not just religious. It's... Now we come to the mystery. The mystery is, the new creation simply is, I am.
Amen. That, the other night we talked about how pillars are part of the law. The programming is part of the law. The programming serves until the new man appears.
Amen. I am. Now, you're not going to be able to understand I am, because you're trying to program it through those 20 feet of floppy disks. But I am is the whole purpose of life. And you are called the I am people. Now, if you can imagine life never even perceiving need. That's I am. And that's the position that's set before you. It's what every one is desiring to find. But it's complete in front of you now. And the only thing that's blocking it is that 20 feet of floppy disks. Now do you understand pillars a little better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially Tom. Do you understand? That's the one I set all this for Tom.
Mm-hmm. I may still have some trouble picking them up, but I sure understand them.
Okay, now, let's...
An I want in this situation would be something that never surfaced into your subjective consciousness. You would want something and you would...
Right.
I want to go outside, or, that's a simple one. And you just go outside. Most of us do that anyway without it becoming conscious of it.
Right.
But you're saying all these other things would be that way too, because I am means your existence is...
You only you return something. To the point of... In a real sense, that's what we are designed to return to that point. That's what it means, except you become as a little child. I am.
You mentioned those program responses. You said to help you out with them.
Well, let me go up down the list here.
Oh, okay.
Now, I also remember that. Again, this is a culmination of all kinds of things from the past, but I went to a speed reading course once, and I remembered that by testing that you forget something on the order of 80 to 90% of what you hear or read the first time within 24 to 48 hours. Now, that's pretty heavy duty. Why do you forget it? If you don't really forget it, because the impression is there in the neurons. The reason you forget it, even though you desire to remember it, is because that passing through those programs said it's invalid data. So you want to know why you can't remember the doctrine? You want to know why you can't remember the scriptures? Because it's passed through the program and it says it's invalid.
But this will never help you. You don't want to remember that.
You don't retain those things.
Yeah.
They get caught in the filter.
The self-seeking.
Now, let's go down some of these worst programs that are bad for you just as a human being, much less enemies. Every one of these things are an enemy of faith. You have to understand that.
Yeah.
Faith said there's no program. It's abandonment. Now, how many of you, you constantly say these things. There's hundreds of them. So, but one of them is, I just can't remember names. Guess what? You're not going to remember names. God, I just can't get going in the morning unless I have a cup of coffee. It has nothing to do with your physiology. It has to do with your mind. Oh, man. Nothing goes right in my life. What do you think, the gods are against you? Oh, that won't work. Damn, we can never afford anything. I just hate paperwork. Thank you. Or this just isn't my day. Have you ever had a day like this? Just isn't my day. This has just been one of those days.
It's a great day, but it can't last.
It can't last much longer. It's too
good to be true. God's out to get me.
This is too good to be true. Sure enough, here he comes.
God's out to get me.
You don't use
control. Oh, it's just no use. Or as a child, how many times and it was only when it was bad, but you're just like your father. Or just like your mother.
I don't ever get to do what I want to do. This one's wrong.
I never get to do what I want to do, yeah.
How about teaching children just isn't my bag?
Or whatever it isn't your bag. Because whatever it is what's set before you by the Father to be and see through.
Yeah. Or there's something wrong with what something he's saying. You know, and if I think long enough about it, I'll figure out what it is, and it'll make me feel superior.
I want you, yeah. You guys, there's a lot of them. If all he's wrong, let God kill him.
Amen.
Amen. You can't close.
But that,
that's his God fault. God tried to kill him.
It's his fault. No, but think of all of the things that you do, that you say, that reveal your true condition. Now, that's why we must exhort one another daily, what it is still called today. That's why we can't be as some who forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because the only way these things are going to be dealt with is by each other's help.
Scripture someplace that says that we will be held accountable for every word, every idle word.
Well, if you have a program that says, I never win, then you're going to be successful when you never win. If you have a program that says, I always want to hurt people, then you're going to be successful when that program is successful. If you have a program that says, I'll pick on you all later.
One thing on this, you know, and you said, when you say I can't, and you stop it there, and you say God will not override your attempt to do that. He'll continue to let you.
He'll bring your own worst fears upon you.
Till you see. But we don't know what those worst fears might be, right? Until you die. What are they?
Does everybody, anybody, do you understand this? A little better than you did before.
Yes, very much. It finally started that last little bit of...
So how do we make this list?
Don't worry about a list. Make what comes to you. Don't worry about it. It'll come. Don't believe it. I got several for each one of you already. So.
I'm trying to think of how do you write a book in 3 days. You know, I can't figure out a way to do that.
Well, let's figure out a way to short-circuit them all.
The insidiousness of these negative ones, the 77% or whatever that we have, is that in a way they're safe because they allow us to remain at a level where our idols don't really get tested.
Right. That's the point. I'm glad you said it. The function of all of these from the Antichrist position is to cause you to remain in a place with no risk.
Right.
And so if there's no risk, there can be no faith. And therefore the program won't be seen through.
I'll tell you one thing, I just didn't think about those things as being pillars or whatever until you started talking about all these little things of, I mean, it's just so habitual.
That's all you are.
Yeah.
Everybody, anybody have anything else?
One thing, this it made me think of when I worked for IBM and sold dictation equipment. The medium was not a tape. It was a wide magnetic belt.
Right.
And when you were done with that belt, you took out your little eraser, turned it on, let it go around one time.
Right.
And the program was erased.
Amen.
So I figured we need strong magnets. No, I think there is a parallel between magnetism somewhere. There, magnetism is a type of something that
destroys,
erases and destroys
strong,
the old.
Strong, powerful force that erases all the data.
Does your image of yourself have something to do with this? Because it's like.
Well, it's all. That's the only.
Yeah.
The only way you can have an image of yourself is it's tested against these pillars.
That is yourself.
Mm-hmm. So if you just expose this false image that you have of yourself as being false, then.
Well, there's some other tricks up the sleeve which I won't reveal yet, but we'll do it this weekend.
Lobotomies. Things are going to be practiced this weekend.
For a couple of you, it's going to be a 357 Magnum.
Okay.
Electroconvulsive shock therapy.
I wouldn't care.
Ice cube and cigarettes.
But I'm excited about because my feeling is I couldn't quite break through the barrier of how to get it across to you.
Yes, I think
that
was a good.
Yeah.
And so you can thank Tom.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Tom. That may be the only reason he liked computers was to have this point.